point of view.
Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.
We have now Advocate Sipho Mantula, who's an African Affairs analyst, to wrap up the week for us. Advocate Mantula, welcome and thank you so much for your time. So let's talk a little bit about first. Let's start with the UN Assembly, South Africa and other African countries, you know, showing face there. Your take on what they presented at the UN?
Not just for what I've seen in the UN General Assembly, which is on the 77th session. The key issues is around what you look at the Africa bloc. I was picking up on President Macky Sall of Senegal under his direction as a EU chairperson, that he has raised key issues that are very important. If one looks, the issues of inclusion of Africa into the G20. Secondly, the issues of dealing with terrorism, that it is not only in the African continent side, it is global. And I think many African countries go in the UN General Assembly, the question of reforms have been there, but one will assume that if you look at the highlights that I saw, which still worries me, the issue of the DRC and Rwanda, where both the DRC and Rwanda has already thrown their issue before the UN General Assembly. So one can look at the UNGA 77, our representation there, the Ukraine and Russia conflict. Remember that this meeting happened almost after 2 years. They've never met physically. So they are dealing with these issues at the UN General Assembly, but what is key is when they come back home, do they translate them into reality? Do they even communicate with their own citizens? Because we are paying UN membership fees, but is their return of investment? Sometimes we say even some of the African leaders are just going to do shopping in New York. They are not doing anything else. So those issues, they do come out. You know, we should not run away from that. You have what we call international diplomatic tourists who are not dealing with UN workers.
I'm quite surprised. Maybe I'm wrong to be surprised. I'm quite surprised at the climate change topic being such a big conversation among Africans. And I'll tell you why I'm surprised. Okay, so Kenya and Nigeria stated their case. But South Africa amazes me because on the one hand, our policy is quite dicey on this, let's say for instance on energy and what we want to do with energy, whether it's renewables, whether it's coal or nuclear. We are not firm on that. And yet when we go to the UN, we seem to be presenting a position that says we are going to be steering towards renewables rather than sticking to coal, which you've heard, for instance, Minister Agwete Mantashe has been firm on. So I was surprised because I don't think that's necessarily the position I thought South Africa took with regards to how they want to address, for instance, climate change.
No, correct. But the issues that you are raising of energy crisis, and they are not only national or continental, they are global. The issue of energy crisis, but at the same time, one asks, even the issue of carbon emissions. Remember, even when you talk of renewables and those things, the issue of carbon emission has been coming. But Egypt, actually, has been hosting the prep meetings of COP27. If you look at the climate change conference that normally brings member states, the issue is not similar is that if you talk of multi-forum or this international settings, the problem is that you find that even member states are able to even sell out their own national interest easily. And hence I was raising the issue of that. Even report banks, you just see them as headlines on the social media. You just hear the ministers coming from New York and telling us what they were doing there. But it becomes difficult if they cannot implement those thinking or those ideas. But South Africa, I think for me, for the past, you can say 9 or 10 years that they always say it's a wasted years. I don't think we've commanded our global posture.
So what else did South Africa talk about at the UN? What else was in our address?
You know, even the issue that got beyond Ukraine and Russia conflict, which they have raised as a new Cold War that has affected African countries. I think the other issue that South Africans and other African countries have been raising is the issue of global terrorism, because you cannot talk of development, investment, if you don't deal with pockets of conflict. And those are the issues that always come in, and you ask yourself, why then the UN Security Council has not transformed, has not been reformed? So in some instances, the UNGA meetings, what they call the UN General Assembly, sometimes become ceremonial pomp affair where just people go and take selfies there. Because once you do this, you don't get the sense of what then is UN General Assembly relevant to our own people.
I can hear your irritation, Advocate Bantula. Let's talk about something more serious. The Namibian genocide. This has been a talking point in Namibia for a long time. Now, I want us to talk a little bit about how within Namibian Parliament, there is a split. There is a division on how to deal with Germany and how Germany should account for the genocide in Namibia. We had thought there was an agreement. We had thought that Germany and Namibia had come to an agreement. The opposition doesn't feel that.
No, definitely. One can use the word it was with the backdoor agreement that went out. I mean, foul in the sense that the survivors and the victims are the ones who are saying, but yes, Germany has late 1800s and 1900s of the Herero de Ovambo. You know, when I think of Namibia, having been there before Sisimelo, and having dealt with even some of the cases hypothetically, if you will recall when there was this funny affair in South Africa of the Chief Youth Festival, if you can remember, there was this funny festival that happened. So it happens, I was in the moot court when you're dealing with the question of Namibia. And when one has to look at atrocities that Germany has done in Namibia, it's so fast that people, I don't think they can even contrast or they can even grasp with what the Germans have done in Namibia. Just if you go there, yes, it's a clean city only, but they have had their people, their scars in the people of Namibia. So I think the opposition took that lead of writing to the German Foreign Affairs Ministry and say, can we renegotiate that deal? And that deal is what we always say, is it mere peanuts of reparation or is it just to please or appease the governing party, which I know SWAPO might have said that at least we have a deal, but the opposition, I think, they're within their rights to then contest that reparation deal.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, the opposition has accused the government for, you know, taking backdoor, you know, I don't know whether it is deals, agreements and other things that will silence them and not push for a better deal for the NAMA. So where does this leave then this agreement? Because the Germans, have they responded to the letter sent by the opposition?
Not yet, because they were mum, and you will understand that the opposition normally belongs to them as the authoritative governing parties, because they are just opposition. But if SWAPO has to renegotiate this deal, I think that's where the issues of transitional justice principles comes in, you know, similar that how do you balance the harm that was caused to ordinary people? You know, sometimes one looks at the cost of the humiliation. It is the same like if you want to quantify the apartheid damage that was done in this country, and looking at our neighbor, Vintu, which we want colonized, by the way. If you remember, South Africa, I mean, Namibia used to be called Southwest Namibia. Yeah. And that's where, if one looks at the effects of it, that's where we are having challenges.
All right. Mr. Mandula, we're going to have to talk about Steve Biko next week because we have run out of time. I don't want to do a quick liner. So thank you so much for this time. And let's possibly speak again next week. Advocate Sipho Mantula, the African Affairs Analyst.
Point of View. Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.